Welcome to another Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan, and this is Scenic Roots.
Yonder comes a rabbit as fast as he can run, and if I see another one, I'm gonna shoot him with my double barrel gun. I'm gonna shoot him with my double barrel gun.
The big eyed rabbit's gone, gone. The big eyed rabbit's gone. The big eyed rabbit's gone, gone. The big eyed rabbit's gone.
Clawhammer banjo.
And your sister?
She pulls down the fort with the mountain dulcimer.
Now, we could call what you play bluegrass, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. Can you describe the scenic roots sound?
Yeah, so we kind of tag it as American roots music. We've got influences in bluegrass, traditional old time, and then I also studied quite a bit of Irish fiddling. And so we kind of morph and blend those all together and create these happy, groovy, old-timey songs that could be labeled a number of different things. But, you know, traditional roots music, probably the broader category that it fits in.
Born an orphan, no mom or dad. Through it all, she's seldom sad. Took her in, their love for her would never end. She wants to run, she wants to dance. Will she get a second chance? Still a child when God calls her home. Now she gets her chance to roam.
Two have been playing together for a long time, you and your sister Erin.
Yeah.
I look at the cover of the album Under Construction and I think, okay, they're looking very very young there. How did you get started?
So our parents grew up taking Erin and I to bluegrass festivals all around the country. And so from as long as I can remember, we were always going to jams and festivals. And when I was two, I asked for my first fiddle. It took my parents a couple of years to find someone who would teach someone who could barely walk how to play the fiddle. But when I was four, I got my first fiddle, and when Erin was seven, she got her first mountain dulcimer. And it kind of took off from there. We grew up playing together, and we toured with our dad during high school. And then my sister and I went full-time on the road together about 5 years ago.
Now, after that length of time, What do you do to keep it fresh?
Well, probably about every 6 months, Aaron and I go through the process of picking out a couple of new songs that each of us want to learn. And then because we're sisters, we go off to opposite corners of the house and learn these new songs. But it seems like almost every tour, we're working on a new song or two. I especially perhaps get a little bored with the same stuff all the time. So it seems like we mix it up pretty often. And then it's also fun playing a variety of different instruments. That kind of keeps things new and fresh as well.
Plow, won't take nothing for my journey now. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. Paul and Silas was bound in jail, had no money for to go their bail. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Paul and Silas thought they was lost, the dungeon shook and them chains come off. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. For your talking won't stay on me. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Get to heaven, gonna sing and shout, there'll be nobody there to put me out. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on.
Let me back up a moment. Where does the name Scenic Roots come from?
Well, our dad likes to play with words, and so as a family we joked that we went on scenic routes, but we play roots music, and so Dad landed with the name Scenic Roots.
Okay, that works.
And the scenic routes were, you know, probably more like getting lost, but, you know, it's whatever. We took the long way around sometimes.
Sometimes it's important to get lost.
Right.
Now, as I was saying earlier, you've been busy. 8 albums by my count, starting in 2003. The latest is Reverie. How does that compare to the earlier ones?
It's really kind of interesting. So in the early days, we kind of went into an old-time kick. And then our previous album called Grounded, we maybe went a little, I don't know, it's not really new agey, but we did some chop and groove stuff. And with this Reverie, we kind of took it back. We kind of went back to our old-time roots a little bit. We did quite a bit on an old 1800s banjo, and we even experimented with some old flat tunings to sound a little more authentically old time. And then we mixed in original there and then a couple of our some newer stuff. But I think Reverie maybe leans a little more old time for us, which was really fun to put together.
Are there favorite tracks that stand out on the album for you?
I love the track called Rabbit in Log. And then I also really love Chickens. And so there's Cluck Old Hen, I believe, is on that album. Which maybe I love Chickens more than people, which shouldn't be the case. But, you know, I think those are probably my favorite two tracks.
Well, I noticed we started with Big Eyed Rabbit. The album starts with Big Eyed Rabbit. And then I saw Rabbit in a Log. You seem to have a thing for rabbits.
Well, we did definitely get into this kick of songs about animals. I don't know why. And the rabbits usually come to unfortunate events in the song, which is too bad. But, you know, we do live on the plains of Kansas, and, you know, sometimes unfortunate things happen to creatures on the farm.
Speaking of the plains of Kansas, who influenced you? Who should I be able to hear in your music?
Oh, we listen to a lot of Nickel Creek, of course. I listen to a lot of Claire Lynch. The band Crooked Still, we have quite a bit of influence from. I listen to a lot of Sarah Jarosz. And then the string band called the Freight Hoppers. We've listened to a lot of.
Now, you mentioned the feel of Reverie and going back to an earlier style. One of the tracks that really stood out for me it was In Tall Buildings.
Very poignant, John Hartford.
A very poignant sound to that one.
Yeah, so we got to play at the John Hartford Memorial Festival last year. So we started listening to as much John Hartford as we could get our hands on. And that going to work in tall buildings has been pretty inspiring to Aaron and I. It's like on the day when you're tired of driving or you've been in the airport forever, it's like this is still way better than having to go sit in a tall office and not see flowers or sunshine.
And I'd never heard it quite described that way, too. I'm going to work in tall buildings.
Yeah, kind of a dreadful, dreadful thought for us.
Coming from the Kansas
right.
countryside.
There are no tall buildings.
Someday, my baby, when I am a
can. They'll sell me a suit and they'll cut off my hair and send me to work in tall buildings. So it's goodbye to the sunshine, goodbye to the dew, it's goodbye to the flowers and goodbye to you. I'm off to the subway, I must not be late. I'm going to work in tall buildings.
You mentioned Grounded, the previous album.
Yeah.
One of the tracks that really stood out for me there was Orphan Girl.
Oh, yes. Oh, such a fun one. So we picked that up off of Gillian Welch. And in the town that we live in Concordia, Kansas, we are actually home of the National Orphan Train Museum. And so it was just a really awesome fit for us. We have this historical orphan place in town, and this song about orphans, and we're actually sponsored by an organization called Hope International, which they do international adoption. And so the Orphan Girl has been a great fit for us to be able to talk about our sponsor and talk about the orphan train in Concordia and then play this really cool choppy groovy song, which is fun.
Okay, here's a chance to plug your cause. I am ignorant of the Orphan Train. Tell me what that was.
So the Orphan Train started in New York City as people were immigrating into the United States. A lot of parents would pass away on the boat or would come in with disease and would be sent back, and the kids could stay. And so it became this real problem that there were tons and tons and thousands of orphans on the streets of New York City. And the Ladies Aid Society in New York said, we should do something about this. And they ended up shipping thousands of kids on trains to the Midwest, where they would stop the train at the depot and families could come and select a child that would be their new adoptee. And, you know, oftentimes the children would find a loving home, but many times I think they were probably used more like slave labor in the field. But there are thousands and thousands of kids that came into the Midwest, and now the Orphan Train Museum is finding those families and documenting the stories of the kids that rode the orphan train.
Oh, when he calls me, I will be able to meet my family at Constable. I'll meet my mother, oh, I'll meet my father, my sister, my brother. No more an orphan girl. Oh, blessed Savior, come make me willing and walk beside me until I'm with him. Oh, meet my mother, be my father, my sister, my brother. No more an orphan girl. But I'll share my troubles if you go my way. I have no mother, oh, I have no father.
you've been touring. You've been playing a lot longer, but you've been touring, you mentioned, for about the last 5 years, about 2010. Have your travels brought you out this way in the past, out to the West Coast here?
We've been as far as Seattle a couple of times, but our adventure up into Canada is going to be our first adventure that way.
And so how did it come to pass that you are coming to the Vancouver Island Music Fest?
You know, I'm not sure. I got an email from Doug Cox that said, would you ever come to Canada? And at the time, I had no idea who this person was, but of course I was like, yeah, sure. And then he sent me a much more detailed email, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. So I'm actually very excited to get to Canada and meet Doug and find out perhaps how he discovered us.
Indeed. Well, that sounds like a good way to start. The Vancouver Island Music Fest is looking forward, I think, very much to seeing Scenic Roots as well.
Yeah, I sure can't wait.
Rogers and her sister Erin Rogers, who make up Scenic Roots. They'll have a busy music fest starting Saturday morning with an intro to folk dancing at the Crossroads stage. Then it's off to perform on the Woodland stage at noon before heading to the barn for an afternoon workshop. Sunday morning, we'll see them on the Concert Bowl stage taking part in the ever-popular Spirit Celebration. And that wraps up another Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. Thanks for listening. And thanks to Juno Award winner Helen Austin and Todd Butler for taking us home.
We can sit together and watch the show. Oh, in any weather, we'll watch the show here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest.